You won a MacArthur Fellowship in 2013, also known as the Genius Grant. What was that moment like when you found out that you were a winner?
Well, I was on the Stairmaster, covered in sweat. But it was pretty amazing. I was pretty befuddled, and I was probably not very eloquent. Mainly, I remember after I hung up with them dancing around my apartment for a little while.
How did you first come to realize that you were going to be a concert pianist?
Well, there's probably not like one moment, but there was always a piano in the house when I was growing up, and I was always kind of obsessed with classical music records. So my parents had like 50 greatest classical music hits of all time and stuff like that. And somehow that music always, you know, was the music that meant the most to me.
In your solo performances, you're particularly famous for mixing up the repertoire, standard repertoire, and things that are well off the beaten path, like 20th century American composer Charles Ives and English Renaissance composer William Byrd. What draws you to a certain composer?
I think I'm into pieces that give me a little mind trip. I'm into pieces that are just beautiful and wonderful, too. But I like pieces that are sort of that threaten to tear themselves apart or explode of their own extremities, you know, and that's why I play, you know, like, for example, Ives is always, you know, it's music that is almost unstable.
You have a concert at Penn State tonight. What music will you be playing?
I'm playing this Mozart sonata that I'm beginning with, K533, which is a not very often played sonata, which is one of the wildest, probably the wildest Mozart piano work in some ways. Then David's Bündler Dances, which is a long favorite piece of mine.
Robert Schumann,
mm-hmm. One of the most beautiful and kind of tender, it's always been a very special piece for me. And then in the second half, I'm premiering the piece that Brad Meldow wrote for me, a sonata for piano, about 10 minutes long, that Penn State was involved in commissioning.
And what is that piece like?
It's a kind of a brooding jazz vamp that starts out as a kind of a sounding a bit like a classical lament with a descending bass line, and through various travails and things becomes a very beautiful blues. And then I'm finishing with Carnival of, again, Robert Schumann, another big cycle of Schumann, but in a totally different vein, much more joyous and manic and wild and exuberant.
Your recent recording of the Goldberg Variations by Bach has gotten a lot of praise. What made you decide to take on that piece?
Well, the one reason was I never wanted to play that piece. I was desperate not to play it, actually, partly because it's so difficult and partly because it's so well-known. But my friend Toby Sachs, who recently passed away, she was running the Seattle Chamber Music Festival, and she sort of insisted that I learn it. She said that it would change my life if I played that piece, and she wanted to hear me play it.
Well, the Goldbergs must have been a success if the Canadian Broadcasting Company, which yeah, they did, named them number one on their list of the top five classical recordings of 2013. And I want to quote what they say about you. They wrote, "Denk smashes through preconceptions and produces an overwhelmingly original account of a piece we thought we all knew."
It is high praise, and I'm thrilled by it. And I love that piece. I love Bach. Bach is a long passion of mine. I just tried to play it how it seemed to me it ought to go.
Do you have a favorite moment in the Goldberg Variations?
I have several. There's Variation 13, which is this sort of long-breathed aria, one of the really great moments of repose in it. And, you know, how can you not love the Black Pearl number 25 also, which has the most audacious chromatic journeys.
The MacArthur Foundation cited not only your incredible ability at the piano, of course, but your way with words. And I have to agree that your blog, Think Dank, is a great read, lots of fun, well written. I hear that you're working on a libretto for an opera, which, in case people don't know the term, that's the lyrics, the words.
Mm-hmm, sure.
Tell me about that.
You know, it's an opera based, there's a very famous book in musical circles called The Classical Style, and it's about Mozart, Haydn, and Beethoven, and how did it happen that these three great composers came to be and they managed to create a style.
And the composer is?
Stephen Stuckey. And it's like a setting of a really wonky musicological text.
dominant and tonic, I understand,
the harmonies, the basic harmonies are characters because they're the most important part of the classical style. And Mozart, Haydn, and Beethoven are characters. In the opening scene, we come across them in heaven, somewhat at a loss and a bit bored. It's a comedy, obviously. It's a ridiculous proposition.
Are there plans for a performance, or are we just at
the premiere is in Ojai Festival, which I'm curating in June in north of LA. And then we're doing it in Berkeley. And next year in New York, we're doing it down in Zenkel and Carnegie.
Well, now, I can't offhand think of another concert pianist who's written an opera libretto.
It is an extra profession, and it's a profession that I happen to absolutely know nothing about, which maybe is a slight advantage or a disadvantage. I can't quite figure it out yet.
The MacArthur Award gives you a no-strings-attached grant. Is there some project that you'll be able to do now, something that you've always been wanting to do, and now you have some freedom with the grant to do?
The problem is I'm already in many ways doing all the things that I want, except for, you know, like lying on the beach in Hawaii for months on end. But I'm basically playing the piano and writing about music and doing a lot of projects, you know, that are very much creatively satisfying. One of the things that I'm doing, I guess, hopefully both through my playing and through the writing, is try to communicate that this music is not nearly as dead as it often seems it is, and how important it is to keep the music located in the present, even if it's centuries old. That's important to me, that other people will get the same pleasure out of it that I do.
Jeremy Denk, thank you very much.
Pleasure.